We have come to the point now that we've gone through four of the angels sounding their trumpets in the book of Revelation. We're going to chapter 9 today and begin with the fifth angel and the fifth trumpet. And I pray, Lord, have mercy on me and give me grace to teach this. And the fifth angel sounded this trumpet. We've mentioned, just to bear in remembrance, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the manifestation of the Son of God. This book teaches us of the finished work of the Son of God and all that's entailed in the purpose of God and the providence of God, primarily in Christ and God's people and the church, the assembly of the saints, which are come forth to worship by God's grace and Spirit in this world, to give glory unto the Son of God. This angel is going to give a declaration. There's so many different interpretations of this book. I read Gill, I read Henry, I read Barnes, I read the man with the Reformation Bible, the Presbyterian. For Old Testament, I read Josephus and I read Haley, because Haley's Arminian, but he's very articulate in the Old Testament ways. Everybody varies in some way or another in what they pray, what they teach, and what they preach in this book. I'm not going to say anybody's wrong. I'm not going to say everybody's right. But as I've said before, there are things in history, we're going to talk about some today, that plainly relate to what is shown in Scripture. We talked about the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of Rome as a nation being overcome by the hordes of the barbarians that came in and conquered them. To one who would say, well, God loves everybody, and why would God do that? Well, He does it because He's God and His way is just and right, and it's His will, and that's good enough for me. I don't question that. I pray the Lord's will be done. To be blunt, whether I like it or not, because I'm flesh, I'm mortal. But this angel is giving a declaration today of something that's in history, I do believe, and I hope to prove that to you. I don't mean to talk about people. I don't mean to be mean. I'm going to tell you what most of our forefathers do agree on from this text of Scripture. And I'm going to talk about, I hope, as God blesses, the aspect of the symbol it represents in spirituality in the Bible, and how we can tie it to even living today in this time. The fifth angel sounded a message, a call to assembly, the sound of the gospel. That's what the trumpets represent. We assemble to worship. We assemble to fight. They rebuilt the walls in the days of Nehemiah. They built the city, and we are to be building. You cannot very well prosperously build and fight at the same time. They were building, but they had a sword in one hand and a tool in the other. They did not use the sword unless they were in defense of themselves. And something else to remember from that text of Nehemiah is they would blow a trumpet when they needed help. We need to be helping each other. We need to be helping church, congregation helping congregation. The best way to start that and do that really is through prayer, because as I said a week or so back, that's the greatest tool that we have in this world. The fifth angel sounded, this is the message, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. The last time we talked about the star falling from heaven, we brought forth Jesus saying, "But I beheld Satan as fire fall from heaven," went back to Genesis and showed Satan's rebellion to God and vanity, desiring to be Christ himself. We saw him, I'll use the word, ejected from that position and habitation that he was in, that God had placed him in. We made point that everything that happens against God and by our nature in rebellion to God is of him who desired to be as God, Isaiah 14, and was cast out, Revelation 12 and Isaiah 14, unto the earth. and makes war, as Revelation 12 says, with the remnant of God's people who keep the word, the testimony of God. He battles us. Now, I'm telling you that to make the point that this star, even though it's not believed to be Satan himself, it goes back to the star, Satan, who fell from heaven. Again, Ezekiel 28, begin reading verse 10. Satan's never been in heaven in immortal glory, created in this world as a cherub to oversee the treasures of God, which are his people. He was ejected from that. Christ is now our cherub. Move on with the text. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Josephus, no, why did I say Josephus? I can't keep my mind. Pray for me. Gil. Josephus, what a laugh in the New Testament. Gil says that this is Boniface, the first pope who, and most of our forefathers will agree with this, who took universal power given him by government over all of the world. He placed himself, remember Satan, desiring to be as God, placing himself in the place of God. Isaiah 14, I will ascend unto the mount of the Most High. What is our nature? What are we by nature? I will ascend. I will do this. I will be like God. That's what caused Adam and Eve to fall. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. Man desires to be his own God. That's the nature of fallen man. Boniface, as many doctrines in the world, Lord help me keep my thoughts, there's so many. I told you before, what many said were the doctrine of the popes at that time. He was the man of sin. He was various things. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm not trying to pick at Catholics. I'm telling you history. I'm a sinner. I got no right, really and truly. I can't condemn anybody. All I can do is hope to judge myself. What I'm telling you, and will be for a while through some of this, is history and what our forefathers in the faith have contended for. But the star that fell from heaven, Gil said, was Boniface. He had power given to him by government. One reason we don't want a theocracy. We have a republic, just for today's thinking. But it depends on who runs a theocracy, on how you live and how you're enabled to worship. We've seen that before. That's why our forefathers came here to escape that. Enough said. Lord, help me. Boniface had the power, as he said, to condemn men. I can condemn no man. I do not have the power nor authority. I can judge good and evil, discern good and evil. God hath given us that. I can separate myself from evil. God hath given us that. Although Satan pulls constantly to tear us back into it, to tear us down. Boniface declared he had the power to condemn men to hell or Hades. Boniface claimed he had the power most of the time for a bar of gold. Sound familiar today? To save men's souls to heaven. Not to mention all the reprehensible acts he did to those true saints of God. We'll talk about that in a moment. Who stood against his heresy and just desired to be left alone. When our forefathers came here in the true Baptist church, they sought to be left alone and let us worship God. That's all they sought. They would not leave them alone. They burned them, they tortured them, they killed them, they stole everything they had, they imprisoned their wives and children and them. He had that power. He set himself up as the Son of God himself. That comes from Satan. That comes from our nature. The star represents someone, says Gill, and I agree with this. It's not a star in the sky. Star represents the ministry. Someone who is in power and perhaps popular in the church. And if you read Hassell's history, you see how they began changing doctrine little at a time, little at a time. They've done that with our freedom and our constitution. Little at a time, little at a time. If you take a spoonful at a time, before you know it, you got a bucket full. And that's what happened with them. And corrupting and destroying. This star, Boniface, fell to the earth. Also, now that's Gill. Mr. Barnes says that this was, and we're going to talk about this today, we're talking about doctrine, we're talking about truth, we're talking about Christ, we're talking about His glory and His glory alone. Please forgive me if I sound blunt or hateful, that is not my intent. But I'm jealous over you, as Paul said, with a godly jealousy, and I want you to know the truth. The other view from Barnes is that, and others, all of them, even Gill agrees to this point, and if I get to a moment, I'll talk about that, but see where my mind goes. I pray the Lord takes it. This refers to Muhammad. Muhammad was a prince. He was not a minister. He was a prince from a royal family in Arabia. I'm going to talk about Hagarenes, sons of Hagar. I'm going to talk, they're the same. They were later called the Saracens, sons of Sarah, although they were not. They claimed to be. We're talking about the Arabs. We're going to talk about Mohammedans and the doctrine that they come forth with, preaching and teaching, and Muhammad himself denying Christ as the prophet of God, denying Moses, and teaching that he was the chief prophet of God. And all this, as we can see, both as a star that fell from heaven, from power well known, the kingdom of God in the world with one, represent the Antichrist doctrine that is in the world and was in the world and will be in the world until Christ destroys the world, because Satan opposes Christ and the Godhead. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. This is a Jewish man having this revealed unto him. Remember, he knows the teaching and culture of the Jews. And to this star, this man who fell, this proves he's a man and not a star in heaven, was given the key of the bottomless pit. All sorts of thoughts on that different people have. This is not, as Boniface said, I have the power to condemn and I have the power to save. He didn't have that, and that key was not given unto him. Let me sum it up in this way, and I'm not relating this only to Muhammad, but Muhammad said, the keys to hell and death are the sword. That's what Muhammad claimed. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Christ has the keys to hell and death. Amen. Period. Revelation 1, about 18, I believe. He's not taking the keys from the Lord. God is going to suffer this to come forth. It is being shown to John, and the reason for, and you'll see as we go through this, because the servants of God who are sealed in their head are not affected by this. These are nations of men, populations of men. He's given the key to the bottomless pit. He is given the key to open the bottomless pit in the sense of the doctrine and the teaching and the vanity and the lies and the wrath. You're going to see wrath. You're going to see this physical. You're going to see wrath. You're going to see destruction. If you remember in history, the Mohammedans attacked the Catholics that day, the Pope, because of their idolatry and their worshiping of idols and worshiping of women and Mary. And they despised that and they hated them. And there was a physical attack on them and there was death and conquering through that. And God didn't send that. Or let me say it this way. God suffered that to be for the punishment of the other. Those who had persecuted His people and burned them at the stake, God would have them pay, just as He had those that said, "Let His blood be upon us and upon our children." As for this man, Christ, crucify him, just as God punished. God is a God of judgment. God, as I told you last week, judges in this world. God, 1 Thessalonians or 2nd, I believe it's 2nd, chapter 1, seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation, then who troubled you? God punishes those who cause His people to suffer, who attack them and hate them. He had the key to the bottomless pit. And He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Just remember this, you cannot see through a thick smoke. God would appear on the mercy seat between the two cherubs in a cloud of darkness. You could not see God for the cloud of darkness. This darkness is coming from the pit of hell, from Satan, the prince of darkness. It is to corrupt doctrine. It is to corrupt truth. It's not just in what was then the popery. It's in every wind of doctrine taught in the world today. I can choose to love the Lord. I can choose. I can work my way there. My gold and my silver will buy me salvation. My good works outweigh my bad works. Lord, have mercy. All those are lies. What was contained there in popery in that time, we see everywhere today in every wind of doctrine. What we saw with Islam denying Christ, making the chief prophet an infidel, a pedophile, licentiousness in the church. And I'm talking about the temptation, the corruption, powers that be in high places, corrupting. There's a purpose for it. Hope to talk about that. To cause you misery. And He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. You can't see through the smoke, as the smoke of a great furnace. Fire burning, smoke pillaging out, unable to see through. And the sun, light, Christ, and the air, what we see through, what we breathe, were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You stand in a fire, you cannot see through it. Go in a burning house, been there many times. You have to get down on the floor to look under it. You cannot see through smoke. This is representing to us the doctrine of Rome, the doctrine of Arabia, Ishmael, the Ishmaelites. His hands should be a... He should be a wild man. His hand should be against every man. He should dwell in the presence of his brethren, coming through in great hordes, robbing and killing and stealing. All these things we see today in religious circles. They cannot see. They could not see. Because, first and foremost, their nature, the reprobate, the wicked, are not given to know or see. Why does God suffer this to go on? Why does God suffer this to happen? Psalm 2 says the people imagined a vain thing. The heathen raged. The people imagined a vain thing. But what does it say next? The Lord had them in derision. Why did God suffer that? Let's look at what God did in spite of our sin. When the people When the heathen raged and the people imagined vain things and they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, He brought salvation to us and paid our sin debt. We don't need to question God's will. His will is perfect. His ways are judgment and just. They couldn't see. False doctrine, lies. Now pay attention and remember this as we go through these next few verses. And there came out of the smoke, out of the darkness, out of hell, from Satan, Antichrist, locust, upon the earth. Two of the men I read, I think it's Gill and Barnes, Henry touches on this just a bit, relate this locust to the Arabians, Muhammad's, because that is one of their, I hate to use the word symbols, but their tradition says that the Lord sent a locust that fell upon Muhammad and said, "We are the army of God," as they went forth with sword to kill and devour. Now, they did kill and devour. God suffered that to punish those who had murdered His people in that day and time. But they were locusts. Have you ever seen a locust or seen what happens? You know, you see it on TV where they've captured it here and there. And you read stories of it. You go back to Exodus, I think, chapter 10. You see where Moses called, raised his arms, and the Lord sent from the east locusts. Where do the east, where do the locusts come from? The east. Where was that? Arabia. From the sand, the desert of the Sahara, the locusts came. They devoured Egypt. What happens then? What did the Mohammedans do? They destroyed people. They destroyed economy. They destroyed life. They destroyed what was established in a nation and a people whereby they had prospered up to that point. The locusts come in hordes. Locusts do not have a king, although Muhammad was said to be their king. Locusts go in droves. You'd find that in Proverbs. I can't remember where. The locusts have no king. They just go up in large numbers. Let's tie that up, if the Lord will help me. As you see locusts coming in to devour crops, they'll cover the entire crop with thousands of locusts. Green and fertile when they come, and void when they leave. When the Mohammedans came from the east to the west and central Rome, they destroyed as they went. What was prosperous in that time, in those lands, was void and destroyed. Now, let's tie that to today. We see evil in high places. I can call names, but I won't. We see it in politics. We see it in religion. We see it in society. Who seek to destroy everything good and everything of God, for that is all that is good, are the things which God hath created and established and sustained, and they seek to destroy. They seek to destroy the church, they seek to destroy the family, they seek to destroy the country. All this coming from Satan. They come in mass multitudes. I've heard people say it, and I've said it myself many times. When I was a child, these things were not even spoken of in secret, now openly done by hordes of people who hate God. We have locusts today, okay? These locusts are representing the Arabs. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. Let's move through it. And there came out of the smoke of the darkness of the pit from Satan locusts upon the earth. God suffered that for His vengeance upon Rome. Rome lost its empire. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Locust devour. Islam devour. The Ottoman Empire. Oh, brethren, look at today. Look back then how they conquered. You, just like the popery, if you did not worship the way we say, we will kill you and take everything you have. Do we not see Islam today trying to conquer the entirety of the world? England has even made a place for them. Cities in this nation, I think Michigan, you have a whole society of them trying to change the law of the state and the country to Islam. Islam is anti-Christ. And by the way, that's one of the things people say was a star that fell, was the spirit of Antichrist. You can't say it was popery. You can't say it was just popery. You can't say it was just Islam. Both were there. Both are part of it. But it's so widespread today, most people don't know the truth. Most people have never heard the truth. They're in darkness, clouded by thick smoke. But listen and understand this. These are those that are not gods that are being spoken of. Locusts, unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They devour. Speaking of today, they were a third world country here. This prosperous nation where the Lord placed His church some 200 something years ago. They wanted to be a third world country torn down. Devouring, devouring, devouring. But now catch this. They were given to them power, the locust, as the scorpions of the earth have power. A scorpion has power. He stings with that tail. Very few times when a man is bitten of a scorpion does he die. But it is a torment from that tiny, I say tiny, some of them in some places I read get up to a foot long. Most of them right here, 4 or 5 inches long. One time I see one just like a snake, I kill it. They sting. Usually stuck on the foot. Change your walk. See that picture? They sting on the foot. Makes a knot, it turns red, it gets hard, it swells. Pressure within throbs and hurts, it pains. Sometimes it's burning with heat, sometimes it's burning with cold. A scorpion can make your whole body swell. I read one place where it made a man's private parts swell. It makes your mouth dry. The pain, the agony, the misery. That little one insect. Now compare that with what these people who suffered from Islam in this day, that day spoken of in Revelation 9, and how they suffered. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass. I love this. Listen to this. Child, do you love God? Listen, God will not forsake you. Christ has saved you. Christ is with you. Christ carries you. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. I'm not going to tell you how the Mohammedans would not destroy, based on Deuteronomy and Moses writing, crops and fields and things like that. That's non-existent. I mean, that's not important. That's what I mean to say. As far as this scripture goes, if you want to study it, it's in Deuteronomy. I think chapter 30. I can't be sure. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Do you see that? You can hurt anyone out here except my people. Well, now, wait a minute. They persecuted the church. Yes, the church was persecuted. Let's keep this in context. It's not saying we're not going to suffer persecution. Millions of people died at the hands of popery and Islam. God's children persecuted. God's children murdered. Even in this country, in the beginning of our foundation, it happened. Well, it can't happen here. Let us open our eyes. But God stands with His people. And this text is showing us the suffering of the people in that day. And this text is about not being able to see the light of God, who is Christ. The true doctrine had come forth into the world, and Satan from the pit of hell and Antichrist and all of the darkness from hell is attacking. He does it today. But God is with us. You want proof? You're here to worship. You love God. You feel the love of Christ in your heart and fellowship with one another. You don't have anything to worry about. There will never be a child of God touch the fire of hell. And you can be assured of that because Christ has saved us from it. And there will never be a church of God finally deceived. A child of God will never ever die believing lies and be condemned to hell. Christ is with you. Christ is in you. Period. And it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Foreheads. Your thoughts, your mind. The knowledge of Christ. God wrote His law upon your heart. You have the knowledge of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All this in our Savior. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them. Now there were many killed. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to look back at history with this also. There, the Islamists came through just as the Pope tried to kill every one of the Anabaptists, the true worshipers, Waldensians, whoever. Also, with Islam, as they came in, seeking to devour. They killed millions. But they were not finally killed. They were not killed to the point that they were put out of existence and were there no more. The Constantinople, they came at twice, declaring to conquer it. They were sent away both times, in shame, defeated. Speaking of the Mohammedans. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. 5 months. 5 months is the lifespan of a locust. From about April or May up towards September, the hot summer months. These are locusts. What is this saying? This is saying there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Even with locusts, there's a season of locusts. There's a season of gospel truth. There's a season of trial and tribulation. There's a season of darkness in this world. As a locust lives 5 months, and these locusts represent Mohammedans, this represents that they were given, suffered of God, for a certain time. Somebody said it was a period of 150 years that they persecuted and killed and destroyed, yet not totally destroying and wiping away. To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. For this hour, for this day, for this minute, for this time, when that was. And to them it was given they should not kill them, but be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. Now remember, this is dealing with not being able to see through the smoke and see the sun. This is dealing with the knowledge of Christ and the preaching of the gospel and the true church of the Lord God in Christ. Torment. Torment. There's torment in idolatry. There's torment in false doctrine. There's torment in lies. It eats at a soul. It destroys a soul. You have no light in darkness. It torments to the point, as we're going to see, men sought death. Just as the Jews of Masada sought death. They were so miserable in these lies and this doctrine. Read church history. Having to hide in the woods to worship and hear the truth and being hunted down and killed by men with torches and swords. Just an example. They sought death. Death would be a release from what we're going through now. I feel that way sometimes. Looking at this sinful nation that God blessed, that has turned so far away from Him, with no reverence of God, with no honor and glory to God, with no knowledge of God, with no love of God. It's all me, me, look at me. I'm ready to leave this place. You catch me when I feel to be a little bit closer to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, take me now. Let me die now. They sought death. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locust were like unto horses prepared unto battle. I believe it's Gil that talks about the locust head and the shape of it being like the shape of a horse while it's in its whole entirety. But my point with that is this. It may have been Barnes. It's one of the two. I believe, I can't tell you anything for certain without looking at it, that I've done and read, because I'm flesh. But I remember the head being the head of a horse. And that was one idea and thought behind this. But bear this in mind. They were like unto horses prepared unto battle. A horse is an instrument of war. A horse is an instrument of battle. There weren't Jeeps and Humvees and tanks. Blood, run, battles, horses, swords, violence, violence, death. The horse, these locusts, were like unto horses. These hordes of Islam in that day, and some today, look overseas, and political parties and ideology and all the things that have fallen upon us very suddenly and very quickly, all of a sudden, all these people I've been telling for 40 years, this is coming, and call me a nut and a conspiracy theorist, and they're right on the nut part, but they're beginning to understand how quickly it's come. We have lost, very probably, our liberty already. Prayer and repentance, only God can fix that. They were like horses prepared unto battle because the locusts were going to fight and destroy, and their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Oh, I've heard all sorts of teaching about that from people in my life. This is dealing with Mohammedans coming into Rome from the east, from the Euphrates. Why the Euphrates? That's the border of Rome. They came across it. They came on in. Crowns of gold. Oh, crown represents a man's power and honor and glory. Ours is in Christ. Paul said, there's reserved for me a crown in heaven. That's Christ, His righteousness imputed in Christ, raised up in Christ, made like unto Christ. These crowns, as recorded by many people in history, the old Arabs, and they still do it today, they'd come in riding on horses and camels, whatever. They would have on a yellow turban. They'd never seen turbans. They never knew what a turban was, and you look up and you see these hundreds of thousands of soldiers coming to you prepared for battle on fierce horses, nostrils breathing steam, eyes glaring, these instruments, the fierce instruments of battle with these golden yellow turbans on their heads, their hair stuffed up under it. I read one place yesterday, last night, of Muhammad, and he would stuff his hair under his yellow turban. That's what this Jewish man John is having revealed to him, the Holy Spirit. This happened. History shows it. What do we gather from this? The dangers that face us today in the lies of the doctrines of Muhammad, of false Christianity, of heresies and lies and doctrines. That's why the Jews said we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Brethren, it's here today. If you know it, give praise to God. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, so die as I die, and death shall feed from them. The shapes of locusts like unto horses prepared for battle, on their heads as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. That's just plainly telling us these locusts are men. Could take more time of that, Lord willing, but I'm not going to. We've got 15 minutes left. They're men. When the Goths came into Rome, it said they had faces of women. Why? Because they would have long hair and they would shave their face. Men in Rome had beards. Men in Arabia had beards. These have the faces of men. Further clarifying Mohammedism, Arabs. The long hair, the beards. There was a time in Scripture when David and his men were caught and they shaved half the beard off and they hid themselves. That's how important it was to them. They had hairs of hair of women, long hair, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. One said it this way. I think this is Matthew Henry. Speaking of them having hairs, the hair of women, he said they were gentle. I'm not going to promise you that's Henry. I think it is. Bear with me on my telling you stuff like that because I am an old man and my memory is gone. But I'll tell you what the Bible says by the grace of God. This man, I think it was Henry, made a statement that the hair represents them being like a woman, being gentle, not like a rough barbarian man. Being gentle and easy. How does false doctrine come? Gentle and easy. Oh, Benny Hinn, I need $1 million. I got to go over here and save all these people in this little country. Y'all send me $3 million the next hour. I'll go over there and I will save these people. I will save them. I will preach them the gospel. You see all the heresy in that? And God bless the poor people with kind hearts who are deceived and send him their whole Social Security check. God bless them. Don't you think God will not judge that? Because he will. Gentle. Gently coming in with doctrine. Oh, it's sweet. It's love. Remember, Satan and his angels appear as an angel of light. Well, it's good to do this. This helps somebody. I don't care what it does. If it's against the Lord, it's against the Lord. Period. And I'll leave that short and blunt. But once they have deceived, as false doctrine and false teachers do, once they have deceived and brought you into the fullness of their lies and doctrines, they have the teeth of lions. It bites, it devours, it kills. And they had breastplates. I know this is probably not a locust. What do they call them? Cicadas? But it's the same type creature. Have you ever seen one hanging on a tree where he's left it? It's like a suit of armor. They had breastplates. I used to think when I was a young man this was a breastplate of the Roman army. the soldiers. But this is after Rome. This is the Mohammedans and their armor, breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And you understand something about iron, as hot as it is, as hard as it is, it's man-made and it will perish and be penetrated. The sound of their wings. Have you ever heard the locust, the high-pitched hum, chirp of thousands? It's said by many in history, this is the sound of chariots going to war. What are we to the squeaking of the wheels? What are we talking about in Scripture? The attacks, let's go history, of Islam upon Rome. What are we talking about spiritually speaking? The attacks of Satan upon the church of God and His people. Remember, there's 144,000 representing the assembly of the saints, the remnant of the children of God, those who God hath called and kept and sustains, who worship Him in spirit and truth. That is He whom Satan seeks to devour. That is He whom these false doctrines, these false teachers seek to destroy. But don't ever forget that Christ is with you. He cannot finally take you away from God or the knowledge of God or true doctrine. One might fall aside a little while. One might go into strange doctrine. One might leave the church completely and go into whatever misery they go into. Been there, done that. I'm not casting stones. I'm telling you some places I have been. God never gives him up. And Lord's will, He'll bring them back. That's why we're told to pray for each other. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the locust wings, the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. A war. Remember, we're footmen. Footmen came out of Egypt. We're the militant church. We fight a spiritual warfare. Islam fights with a sword. We fight with the Spirit of God, which is within us. And the sound of their wings, the sound of the chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions. They inflict misery. They inflict pain. They inflict anguish. I remember my sons went, Josh did, I'm not sure if Ben did, he may have been in Huntsville. One of his friends from high school died, young girl, sweet as she could be, loved everybody. As far as I know, she was a perfect person in my eyes. I know they all were close and they were all good people. God forgive me, but I'm going to tell y'all this as an example of this anguish. My son came home so mad, went to her funeral, and the preacher got up there and told her mother and family that that poor girl who died in a car accident coming home from work at night was dead and in hell because she never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. God have mercy. That is anguish. Josh spent a whole day with that girl's mother giving her, by the grace of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the surety of salvation to one who has love in their heart, for God is love, period. False doctrine brings anguish. False doctrine brings misery, suffering. They had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings in their tails. Their lies, their doctrine, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now this time refers to, as I said, and I do believe, Islam coming into Rome and destroying their representative locust. The locust lifespan was 5 months for the time God had allotted for them to be there and punish these people in His righteous wrath and judgment. They were there. When it was over, they were gone. One historian said that the Mohammedans went from bearing the sword to studying literature. Is that not a change? Only God can do that. Which brings me to one of Brother Steve's favorite things. I love him. And he always says, the king of the heart, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. There's your evidence. A whole nation. There's your evidence of that. The Lord, nothing is hard for the Lord. They were there for the time allotted. Let's tie that in today. We have seen the world made perfect and grow dark. We've seen the gospel preached when Christ founded His church in the world, and then darkness would come and try to overtake, for Satan is persistent. We see revival and the reformation. We see darkness follow. We've seen revivals in different parts of the world since then, and every time it comes, that I have noticed, has been in true doctrine of the predestination, the election of the sons of God, and the blood of the eternal Son of God who came into the world and bled and died for us and was raised up for our justification and will bring us into heaven in immortal glory on the last day of this world. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. It means destruction, the Hebrew name for destruction. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon, which means destroyer. This doctrine comes forth to destroy. Just as those people came forth to destroy, this doctrine comes forth to destroy. But let's go back up to verse 4. They cannot hurt a child of God in the realm of what's spoken of in this text, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, our God, our King, whom we come here to worship because we love Him so. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter.